Last week, the Capital Times newspaper in Madison announced it will no longer allow comments on their website directly under the news stories. Readers are encouraged to take their comments to Facebook, send an email to the author, or email the paper's opinion editors instead.
And we're taking your calls during this conversation. Do you think it's a good idea to get rid of comments on online news stories? Do you participate in online conversations that you can see under the story? Do you enjoy them, or do they bug you? What are those exchanges like? How could they be better? Or are we better off without them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
Paul Fanlon is back with us to talk about why the Capital Times decided to end comments on their website. He's the editor there. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica. It's great to be here.
Well, first of all, why did the Capital Times decide to stop allowing comments on the website under the stories?
Well, we'd been looking at the change for the last year or two, and what we noticed, what was happening, was that we're talking specifically about the unfiltered, immediate, unedited, and usually anonymous comments, that they were authored by a smaller and smaller subset of commenters, and they had more of a troll quality than not as time went along. And we found anecdotally more and more people choosing not to go into the comment section because they were surrounded by hostility and not very welcoming environment there. And we decided that we are continuing to be very interested in engagement with our audience. So this isn't a step away from that or censorship, as some have suggested, but instead a modification so that we're directing the conversation over to Facebook, where technically we have a better ability to moderate the comments and to have a constructive conversation, not an altogether positive conversation. It's not that we're not open to criticism. We are, but one that most people find more useful.
Now, were these comments that you're talking about, were they anonymous, or were people accountable by some kind of name or handle?
They were typically some sort of name or handle, there was some banning of individuals who kept using profanity or just stepping over the line, but as we went along, there were probably 15 or 20 individuals who tended to dominate. And one of the things I think is worth noting is that my columns often attracted quite a few comments. And what I was noticing was the first 5 or 10 comments may be about the column, and then they would veer off into unrelated name-calling between and among the commenters, and there would be 150, 200 comments, the last 140 of which had nothing to do with the column.
You liken it, I think, to an Onion headline at one point about awful comments getting in the way of people understanding the news. Is that how you see it?
Well, yes. Various magazines, particularly serious science magazines, have did a study and determined that people actually came away with a different opinion or different reaction and different trust in the story. So I believe Scientific American cut off comment some time ago. I think it's interesting. I think newspapers are approaching this differently. I think the New York Times is wonderful and does just about everything right. And they do a wonderful job with comments, but they also allocate a lot of staff time to the aggressive moderation of comments. And one of the decisions I made and we made as a management team was that we'd rather have our staff creating original journalism and not trying to stay in front of moderating comments.
Now, the people who commented, I suppose some people may have a Facebook page and be in the habit of going to a Facebook page or some other social media. Others may not, and it might be easier to just be on a website and click and comment. Are you worried at all about shutting the door on some of that conversation?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't somewhat concerned. We do have a robust, for an organization our size, opinion staff, and we really encourage and welcome emailed letters and do an aggressive job of processing those quickly and sharing those in a letters format every day. We also probably more than about any newspaper I can think of, emphasize op-ed pieces from members of the community, experts in the university community, and we're very interested in engagement. And as time moves along, we may find a way to go back to some sort of comments model. But I obviously had a lot of conversations about this, and one of the things, a couple of the things I say to people is that I'm edited, my columns are edited, everything else that appears under the Capital Times banner, under the Capital Times brand, is edited. The comments, in some sense, and the New York Times said this recently, they see the comments as an extension of their journalism and as part of their brand, and I do as well. And I think that we decided to make this move, and it's less a slam door than it is a different approach.
Was there warning to the community that this move was under consideration? I know sometimes people talk about self-policing happening during online communities, someone saying to somebody else, hey, knock it off, let's stay on track, let's keep it clean, that kind of thing. Was that ever an option?
Well, we tried that. We had a couple of our staff members go in and do more moderating and try to get involved in the conversation. I was encouraged in my own columns over time to get involved with readers. I try to do a pretty conscientious job of responding to emails, critical or supportive, sent directly to me. And I think one of the things we want to do out of this is to try to share the feedback we get in our digital community, in a digital format, in story forms that are maybe aggregations of comments, and to approach things differently going forward. But no, we didn't give notice. People, there is a lot of emotion around comments. I read a New York Times piece from their ombudsperson about half of their calls are about the comments. They're not about the journalism in the New York Times. So there's high reader interest in it, and I suspect a lot of different opinions out among your listenership. But again, it comes back to us focusing on our resources on how do we produce the best experience for our audience, and this is the decision we made.
And do you see social media as being effective at taking the place of these comments? What do you see as the benefits about moving there other than the staff resources?
Well, on Facebook, for example, I was talking to two of our people who oversee this afternoon that the response has been about 10 to 1 favorable in terms of what we did here, and the Facebook identities are typically identified by name on Facebook, and there's a sort of a different culture on Facebook, so we don't get a lot of the kind of reflexive attack. For those listeners who don't know, we're a progressive news organization on our opinions, and so we get a lot of flack from the right, and an awful lot of the comments had that flavor to it, sort of reflexively. It's not to say that we also don't receive a lot of input and criticism from the left, but so that would be an answer.
Well, we're going to get our listeners in on this, and let's take a call right now. We've got Deb joining us from Menasha. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I agree that we need to monitor some of the comments, whether via Facebook or social media. However, we also need to understand that sometimes when we're writing articles or sharing the news or representing a story, we do tend to have some sort of opinion influenced it with the facts that we share and what we conclude in our stories. So if we're filtering some of the comments from readers, it might be a good idea to also include a review of these underneath the article, not necessarily exactly what they said, but somebody who is putting a little review to add to the articles to show some different points or people that are changing some of the facts or the stories and coming up with different ideas.
Okay, interesting idea, Deb. Thanks for that. Deb suggesting a summary. Again, this would require staff resources and time to curate this a little bit, but to pick the best points of view and maybe put it at the bottom of the article.
Well, yes, that is not a bad. That's a good idea, and in fact, we've done that and created stories out of curations of input and reader views and put them online. The world of digital journalism is evolving so quickly, and there are different forms, and we're surprised sometimes because we can see and measure readership in ways we couldn't, obviously, in the days of print, when there was only print. And I'm constantly surprised by how things that I didn't think would draw a large audience do, and a lot of them are around the curation of comments.
We're talking right now with Capital Times editor Paul Fanlund about the paper's decision to end comments on their website.
And you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you read online comments under a news article? Do you post comments there? Are these a great place to exchange ideas or just hives of incivility? Do you think it's a good idea to, as this paper did, get rid of the comment section? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion about why the Capital Times newspaper in Madison decided to stop allowing comments directly under stories on their website, talking with its editor, Paul Fanlund. He's here in the studio with us.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you go to the online comments and maybe in your local paper's website? What do you think? Do you ever participate in the discussions, or does the incivility tend to steer you away? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers now. We've got Trent joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Trent.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I always comment on news stories for the most part, especially on Facebook when I see a story posted from pretty much any news site online after I read the story. I tend to almost always leave a comment or scroll through the comments and reply to other people. I do think that there is a certain number of people that do troll online, and they just basically throw negative things out there on purpose just to cause a stir. And, you know, and I think that that does ruin the journalism of it because, yeah, I know exactly what that gentleman was talking about before. You know, I have seen news stories where, you know, 50 to 60 comments down, nobody's talking about the story anymore. It's all about, you know, name-calling and whatnot. I don't see that incredibly often on actual news stories. It's usually on, you know, more local news-type deals. Mm-hmm. But,
and Trent, so do you support this decision to end the comment section? You're a commenter, but you also see the trolls. So what do you think about the decision?
No, I mean, personally, I would like to be able to still comment under stories when I read them just because, you know, I mean, also you have to thank other people, especially on Facebook, when they do that, they can publish it to their own pages, and then now all their friends are seeing, you know, what their opinion on a certain matter is, and it kind of makes it easier in that retrospect. But,
okay, thank you so much for your thoughts, Trent. And what would you say to that? You hear someone who does comment regularly, does recognize that there are issues, and yet he'd still like the comments.
Yeah, I think the mention of Facebook is interesting. We have really emphasized over the last year and a half, the use of social media to broaden our readership base, and it's been really gratifying and successful that we've done it, and how much we've accomplished with people, the power of an individual recommending, a friend recommending a piece of content, my column, a story to someone else, and then having that be sort of exponentially distributed. It's been very gratifying. It's been really important to a 20% growth in the Capital Times audience over the last year. I think that the last caller was very reasonable in his discussion about wanting to comment, and I think we can do that on Facebook, and we'll continue to work at the Facebook experience for those who want to be in the comments and to participate there. So I see it. I see his comments as mostly consistent with what we're trying to do.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Trent. And on we go to Gail in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just think that we have to really watch on how we may be starting to create censorship, and by losing opportunities for comment on articles, and because a lot of times people are adding information to it that other people may not know, and then it builds the story, it goes beyond the story and the content. And you're going to always have to filter through the uneducated, hairball kind of people, because that's out there in the world. So you're going to get the mix, and you have to filter through that so that you can keep a line of decorum going and an educated conversation going. And I think that's what's really important. We can't succumb to the ridiculousness of some people and block our own communication with each other.
Thank you so much, Gail. Appreciate your thoughts there. And she says we need to be careful that we don't lose opportunities and promote some kind of censorship. What do you say to that, Paul?
I agree with her. I think that hardly a week goes by when a whistleblower or someone perceives himself to be a whistleblower doesn't contact me or a member of the Capital Times staff, and we're fine on protecting their identities. We're also fine on sharing the views of people where there's a logical reason, retribution from an employer or some other rationale for anonymity. I'm not a big adherent to the fact that to the view that anonymity is part of free speech and that it's terribly useful to retain that anonymity to be able to kind of pop off and talk about anything. And so the reader at the end is left to guess whether the viewpoint is valid, the information suggested is credible, and without anonymity, there is less credibility.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Gail. And let's go next to Marina. She joins us from La Crosse. Hi, Marina.
Hi. I think that your guest is, I think he's right on track, and I think that this is a really great idea. As someone who writes letters to the editor and writes into my local newspaper a lot, it's very intimidating to see the comments on the website. I don't even like to look at them. It's really disheartening and very intimidating and makes me want to not share my opinion. And I think without that intimidation factor, it would be a lot easier for people to share their opinion.
Okay, appreciate that call, Marina. And Marina likes what you've done there and says that it was intimidating before seeing those comments. Did you hear that from other people?
We have. In fact, we did not allow comments on letters to the editor because we thought it would suppress participation in letters to the editor. And in some of the articles I read leading up to this decision and in some conversations around the newsroom, there was even a sense that some people don't want to participate. Some sources are more reluctant to participate in news stories on the record because of the potential for the shredding they would receive anonymously in comments.
Do you think that the very fact that there were some of these difficult comments there, did it keep people away from the paper in general, do you think? Or reading an article all the way to the bottom, even?
That's an interesting question. I guess I don't have a strong answer. I've been at this business of journalism for decades, my whole career, and I really feel strongly that everything we do, whether it's a news story or an opinion or the letters we choose or just everything, connects back to the brand, to what the Capital Times represents to people. Just as I'm a great admirer of Wisconsin Public Radio and all the connections of brand back to it. And I just felt that finally this particular sewer, which is what we called it internally, became so detrimental to our perception of what we were trying to do as a brand that we had to act.
So you're saying that actually interfered with the Capital Times brand? You thought that the comments were so maybe damaging?
Yes. That's true. I think they are at some point when we're trying to apply all sorts of professional standards throughout everything else we do, and then there's this one island it's an outlier.
And Paul, as we wrap up, do you expect other news outlets to follow suit like this?
Well, many have. I actually, in the last couple of weeks, did a lot of additional research, even though I'd been reading about this right along. A lot of them have stopped comments in the way we have. Some of them have a closer integration with Facebook as a method going forward. So, I think that I think that it will continue. I think an important part of this is the headwinds faced by media everywhere in the last decade in terms of having staff resources. So it comes back to, in a perfect world, I would love to have three people I could assign to running the most robust comment section in the state. But that's not reality.
And we have to leave it there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Paul Fanlon joins us. He's the editor of the Capital Times. He joined us to talk about the paper's decision to get rid of the online comment section.